is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here as always with David Ramil. We are recording this just an hour and a half or a couple hours after the close of the NBA trade deadline. And it was a lot of movement going on in the NBA, but pretty quiet here in South Beach. Not much going on for the Heat, not at all, really. As Miami just kind of lets the trade deadline come and go, they don't make any moves. I know that we had been speculating a lot about possible trades. Our mailbags were dominated by trade deadline ideas for the last several weeks. Goran Dragic was rumored to be in trades. Smaller parts like Josh McRoberts, Wayne Ellington, they were reported to be maybe being shopped by the Heat, but if, you know, ultimately nothing happens, and this is the team that the Heat have going forward.
Yeah, I mean, we'd heard reports that Pat Riley was active. You know, we had discussed the possibility of maybe acquiring a superstar. I think the two that were most likely to be on the trade market were Paul George out of Indiana and Jimmy Butler from Chicago, but neither of them got moved. So if Miami plans on acquiring the superstar that has always been the centerpiece of the team, it'll probably take some time, probably either at the draft or via free agency if possible. But yeah, obviously nothing happened during, you know, the trade deadline. And I think a lot of Heat fans are a little disappointed, right? I think that most of them, at least from what I'm seeing, seemed like they were eager to embrace the rebuilding process that you and I have talked about so often, you know, maybe whether or not Miami should just go ahead and you know, if they're not going to have any kind of long-term security from playing guys like Dragic and or Whiteside, why not see if they could move those and maybe get a couple draft picks and see if they can rebuild in a youth movement. But I guess Pat Riley didn't think that thing, you know, didn't think that was the way to go.
Some fans also wanted to go the other way and make a playoff push and maybe replace
be
Luke
buyers
Babbitt
rather than sellers. Yeah,
right. Be buyers and maybe replace Luke Babbitt in the starting unit and brush up the roster a little bit in preparation for a playoff run. And they didn't do that either. And Pat Riley talked about it shortly after the end of the close of the trade deadline with reporters just a few minutes after that close. And this is what he said.
Perform at a high level during this time and make the playoffs, then, you know, I think that's what we're looking for. And that's why we didn't just sort of, you know, make trades for the sake of making trades, lateral trades to get a look at other players. And so, you know, when it came right down to it, you know, myself and Andy and Eric and Nick and everybody involved said, let's play this out. We got a great roster, I think, of young players and some great leadership and some of the veterans, some guys who are emerging, great coaching staff that's, I think, teaching them everything they know and what they need.
And so that was Riley basically just explaining, look, there wasn't a deal out there that was worth making. And rather than, you know, flip around some spare parts, just stick with it. He likes the chemistry that the team showed. They, after that 13-game win streak, the team went 14-2 in the last 16 games right before the trade deadline. And look, this is the team. And for the most part, right, they do have... There is a couple other options in the short term, right? Chris Bosh, he could still come off the books. The Heat are expected to waive him and clear that $25 million in cap space. That could help them sign a big free agent later. But even just for this season, that opens up a roster spot. And the buyout market might be a place where the Heat can capitalize, not unlike what they did last year by grabbing Joe Johnson, right? In their preparation for a playoff push after the All-Star break. Maybe they, I don't know if there's a Joe Johnson caliber player out there, but there might be a player that they could grab on the buyout market after waiving Bosch, that could help them make a playoff push this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting situation there because you think in the past, whenever Miami's looked at the buyout market, it was generally because they wanted to shore up their roster, add a quality veteran who can provide a little depth. But it was mostly about making sure Miami could make a longer, deeper playoff run. And that's not quite the case. I mean, the playoffs are still very much up in the air. I'm not sure that they're necessarily looking at adding somebody because they see themselves being a legitimate playoff contender. So you wonder what the motivation would be for a player to come here. You know, like, you know, we saw some reports earlier today that Deron Williams is going to be waived by the Dallas Mavericks, or he's already been waived by the time you're hearing this. And he's probably looking at the Cleveland Cavaliers as a destination for him. And now that makes sense. He's a guy who can still contribute. He's been playing at a decent level for the Mavericks this year. He's a veteran, doesn't have a title, but, you know, I think you see a team like the Cavaliers, and clearly they've been looking for a playmaker all season. That's why they brought in Mario Chalmers for a little while. That's why they've added Derek Williams. And so maybe they think that, you know, Deron will add to their mix a little bit, and he can compete for a title. But, you know, since Miami's playoff hopes are significantly dimmer than Cleveland's, I'm not sure what the motivation would be, but it's an interesting one. Maybe
for Miami would be, or for a player?
For Miami, I think that's still clear. I think that's the same thing. If they can find a player who they can add and potentially include this year, next year, and beyond, that's fine. I mean, although you would think maybe they would look to the D League for that, the way they have in the past, right, as well. But
you're wondering what the motivation for the player.
Yeah. Some, I mean, well, it'd have to be something.
If Cleveland doesn't sign them, right? Like, they, it's, if the Warriors or the Spurs or the Cavaliers wanted to sign them, I'm sure they'd probably sign them. What if they don't? Like, it might be a player that just wants to play somewhere and make some money. I'm sure Miami isn't going to be the first choice for a lot of these guys. Like Joe Johnson was, you know, even like last year, the Heat were in the running for one of the top five seeds in the East. By the time they signed Joe Johnson, they ended up with the third seed, right? So. Right. That was motivated. That made sense. This year, yeah, you're right. They're not going to be. They're trying to get the eighth seed, essentially. But maybe it's just a player that wants to get paid and spends the rest of the next, you know,
couple
25 or so games in South Beach. So
yeah, I mean, that's entirely a possibility. I mean, there will be some young players. I mean, we're looking at a guy like Terrence Jones who might be waived by the New Orleans Pelicans. I don't think it's a done deal just yet. But since their acquisition of Boogie Cousins, it doesn't seem like they have a need for Jones anymore. He's not going to be their starting power four. They've got a glut in the front court there with, you know, Ahinka and Omar Ashik. And so
Jones would be a nice piece for the Heat, I think. Like, if that's – I don't know. He's had dealt with injuries this season a little bit. I don't know. Like, we talked about guys that might get a Cavaliers offer or something like that. Like, Jones is one of these guys that might not be a difference maker for those teams, but he might be one of those guys that looks at James Johnson and Deion Waiters and says, like, I like how they've been able to kind of rehabilitate their careers. Maybe I could do that in a really short time span in Miami or get on that track. Regardless, the Heat have, you know, they're going to essentially have an open roster spot that they're going to be able to offer to somebody, and they're going to be able to get a new 15th player on that spot on the roster. The question is, they don't get that roster spot until what a lot of people are going to believe after March 1st, because that's when the Heat are expected to release Chris Bosh so that he can't play in the playoffs for a team after being released after March 1st due to league rules. So that limits the risk of Bosh playing, what is it, 25 games for another team, and then his cap hit goes back onto Miami's books. They don't even get to have him on the roster. They want to avoid that, obviously. Right. So it's largely been expected that they would wait until after March 1st to do that. However, it's February 23rd that we're recording this, and if players are getting bought out today or tomorrow, then they have a 48-hour waiver period, and then so that's a couple days, and then they're likely to be on that unrestricted free agents completely and be on that buyout market, and they're going to be able to start getting scooped up by teams. So by the time March 1st or March 2nd rolls around, the Heat won't have many options. So it really, there's some, now the Heat have maybe some thought to put into this. Like, if there is somebody on the buyout market that is worth the risk of waiving Bosch earlier than March 1st, because they're able to waive him and get him off the books essentially since February 9th, they've been able to start that process. And I'm sure it's going to be a long process. I say March 1st, March 2nd. it could well take a week for this process to play out or longer. Like, you and I have probably never seen this process play out, but we don't know how long it'll take because, you know, the players' union has to get involved, the NBA front office has to get involved, you have to have physicians and I'm sure lawyers and all this stuff, and that always mucks things up. Like, I don't know how long this process would take. But do they start that process earlier than later in order to get somebody that might be bought out here in the next couple of days so that they can make that playoff push, or risk losing that player on the buyout market because that player might just say, I'm not waiting around for the Miami Heat. There's no reason for me to do that. I've got all these other offers.
I mean, it's an interesting point. I mean, I'm trying to remember back what happened last year with Joe Johnson, and I think he did take some time. I mean, obviously he had to clear that waiver period. And there was, you know, obviously nobody was going to add him for the salary that he had with the Nets. And I know he was mulling several offers, you know, among them from to join the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think Oklahoma City was in the mix as well in the West. So there were a number of teams that wanted to add a player Johnson's, you know, reputation and abilities. And I think he took his time making that decision. But I don't know if he necessarily waited a full week or something along those lines. I mean, and that's probably what we'd be hoping for a guy like Jones if he gets waived in the next couple of days.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, March 1st is less than a week from now.
Like I said, we don't know how long the process is going to be. I don't know that the Heat are just going to be like, yeah, let's waive him. Like, they can't just waive him. You know what I mean? Like, it's the process part. Like, they have to start that process. This is from what I understand. Like, you've got to get people involved. Unless they start this process a few days before March 1st, and get it ready to go by March 1st. And, you know, Riley and Ellsberg are savvy enough to get that kind of stuff done. But it is a question mark, right? It's if somebody pops up on this buyout market that the Heat think that they have a real chance of getting and that could really impact and help their playoff push here, they do have to at least wonder, is it worth cutting Bosch before that March 1st deadline? I don't know what the answer is, but it's just a question worth asking, I guess.
No, I agree. I mean, it's a tricky one because, you know, I think you don't want to necessarily see Bosch return to action and then have to get paid by Miami, although it seems less and less likely. The news today that he had signed a short deal to join TNT as part of their coverage, I think he's going to be appearing there for a number of weeks.
The next 5 Mondays, yep.
The next 5 Mondays. That's a little rare. That's weird, isn't it? I mean, just those 5 Mondays? Or is there a particular reason for that?
No, I think TNT has done this a couple times. They just have people kind of show up for a little while.
Okay, so he's just going to be part of their studio, their in-studio team there. And he's a great fit, and we love seeing him on TV, and that's wonderful. But at the same time, I guess it also is a clear indicator that he's not planning on playing this season. So if that hastens Miami's decision or that makes the whole thing a little bit, you know, smoother and easier to make, maybe they'll just go ahead and do it sooner rather than later. And we could be seeing something in the next few days.
I'm excited for Bosch on TNT, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's
a little
great
snippet of him playing guitar or whatever. Like, more Bosch on TV. More Bosch on TV. I don't want to, like, if Bosch never plays in the NBA again, which you and I think agree that that's a very, very slim chance of ever happening, yeah, as most people, I think, believe, that's okay because he's going to be fantastic on television. Like, if he ends up landing a full-time gig with TNT or ESPN or wherever, as long as he doesn't go to Fox Sports because I don't get that channel, anywhere else, I'm happy. NBA.
Yeah, TV. No, I think it'd be great. I think he has... You know, obviously he has some familiarity with the players that are currently in the league right now. He's seen the system. He knows how to talk about them, mm-hmm, I think. And he's just so expressive and intelligent and everything else and well-spoken. I think he'd be a great addition at any point. But, yeah, certainly I'd love to see him talking about these teams and you know,
his
analyzing
insight
guys.
Great,
like,
right? Like, you have, sure, Barkley talking about the 80s all the time and Shaquille O'Neal is, like, barely speaking. Does Shaq add anything to, like, he doesn't add anything. Like, he just takes a jab and curses every once in a while at Barkley.
I think he's better than Barkley at this point.
He doesn't
think Barkley's
even talk.
But when he does, he says things that are almost inherently better than Barkley. I mean,
it's true.
Like,
it's
Barkley's just
quantity.
Talking. I mean, to talk about the things that he does and the way that he does, it's like, I don't know if he's doing it for entertainment value. I don't know if he actually believes these things. It's so hard to gauge, but, I think Bosch is clearly an upgrade over both of them.
Like, he's played against these teams in the playoffs,
sure,
and the finals. Like, Kawhi Leonard is one of the top 5 players in the NBA. Bosch has a very intimate knowledge of what it's like to play against Kawhi Leonard when Barkley is just like, well, in my day, blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah. Yeah. We didn't shoot threes back in my day. It's like, yeah, you're right, but that doesn't make any difference. We're talking about the game 40 years later.
Right. They're worth one more point than what you did, so it's better.
And it's not like he didn't shoot a whole bunch of threes and shoot them for under 30% in his career, but that's a whole other situation. But yeah, but Bosch, I mean, you know, to hear him talking about guys like LeBron or Dwayne Wade that were teammates, or, you know, even some of the competition that he sees out there, guys like, you know, you mentioned Leonard and the Spurs.
Did
and
you see
others.
Him on Bill Simmons's HBO show when that was?
I did not see that.
No, it was like just having him sit down that. I want him to land with TNT because I really, like, as much as, like I'm complaining about Shaq and Chuck and everything, like, I love their format. It's very free-flowing. Sure. They're allowed to just kind of talk. Their commercial breaks are set, but, like, they're able to just kind of fill the time between beer commercials however they really want.
Oh.
And I love that framework. And I think Bosch would be excellent on that as opposed to, like, ESPN where they kind of do, like, they kind of roll out Tracy McGrady every once in a while and be like, 35 seconds, give us your take, go. Like, I think that would be a problem for Bosch, but putting him in, like, a more free-flowing setting, like TNT's basketball NBA show, would be, I think, fantastic. And if you get him under that Turner broadcast banner, where you can let him do some writing maybe for NBA.com or even Bleacher Report or something like that. They've done some stuff with players. I think it would be excellent. He could be like a multimedia, like he could just dominate. Like I think he would be one of the best post multimedia, you know, post NBA career media guys around. I think he'd be great. Very excited about this.
Yeah, I agree.
And he could play guitar, which is great. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Shall we look ahead to the potential playoff run and see, you know, now that no move was made and that it seems that Riley has shifted gears and is planning on moving forward with the team as currently constructed, it seems more apparent. Whether they're settling or not, who knows what the real reasoning is, but it seems like the playoffs now have become the goal for this team, one that seemed virtually impossible a month and a half ago. And now all of a sudden, here we are, as you said, 14 wins out of 16 games later. Now you're very much in the hunt for a playoff spot. Currently the 10th best team as far as the Eastern Conference records and standings go, of 25-32. Two games below the Detroit Pistons at 8th. We've had two more losses than the Milwaukee Bucks, who currently sit at 9th. But you and I were talking about the teams above the Heat for the potential playoff spots, and I'm not convinced that Miami won't be able to leapfrog a few of those teams.
I mean, just their last 10 games, Miami's 8-2, and all the teams above them, Milwaukee, 4-6, Detroit, 6-4, that's okay. Chicago, 5-5, and that looks like it's not going to get any better. Even Indiana at the sixth seed, they're 4-6 in the last 10 games. I don't know what their plan is, right? All these reports, Paul George didn't get moved, but all these reports are indicating that if the Pacers aren't a title contender by 2018, he's heading for LA. You know what I mean? So that's not going to be a good situation in Indiana, I can't imagine. Now, Atlanta, Toronto, Washington, Boston, Cleveland, those are pretty much your top five. Those guys are going to be locked in whatever order it ends up. But 6, 7, 8, that's all up for grabs. And Miami is only at most 4 games behind and at the least 2 games behind. So what do you think that they have to go down the rest of these next 25 games? 500?
I mean, yeah, at least. I mean, if you're looking at the next 25 games, you'd think a bare minimum of 13-12, that would put them at 38 wins and 44 losses. Not ideal, but in an Eastern Conference currently up for grabs the way it is, I think it might be enough to get an eighth spot. I mean, that doesn't seem unrealistic considering the way they've played. I know that their schedule becomes a little bit more difficult. They're playing some top teams. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that wasn't an issue during the win streak. That wasn't an issue over the last 16 games when they beat a really, really good Houston Rockets team twice, you know, where they beat the Milwaukee Bucks, where they beat other teams that were strong potential contenders. I mean, the two games that they lost were to, what, Philadelphia?
Philadelphia
and the Orlando Magic. Both teams that are struggling are not particularly good, and so you know, I'm not that concerned about the level of competition. I think Miami, when they're engaged and playing at their best, they can potentially beat anybody. Maybe not in the course of a 7-game playoff series, but on a one-off night, I think on any occasion, they're capable of knocking off any great team, you know. So I think we could realistically see them go 14-11 mm-hmm. over the next 25 games. You know, maybe not a great thing. Again, that's 39-43, 4 games under 500, but it might be enough. But
they
I mean,
they get Richardson back on Friday, right?
That's true.
For their first game back since the All-Star break. Look, I think we could talk about the next 25 games, but the real deal is going to be, I think, the next 15 games.
Okay.
I think the next 15 games are going to be
crucial.
It's going to make or break it, because if the Heat are not within a couple of games, with 10 games left to go in the season, I think they submarine, they just tank the rest of the way and just get the best pick possible, right?
Makes sense. Yeah, makes sense.
So their next 15 games, I mean, they've got a bunch of tough ones. I mean, they play at Atlanta. They're going to play Cleveland twice. They play Toronto. They play Indiana twice. They play New Orleans, who's revamped, and that looks like it could be a problem. You know, there's some good teams in there. The last 10 games, I don't know, you're right. Like, the rest of the schedule is tough, but if these next 15 games goes well enough to the point where, I don't know, what do you think, do the Heat have to be, they've probably got to win, what, 8 or 9 of these next 10 games in order to really feel like they're still in the race for the 8th seed, as long as, like, Milwaukee or Detroit or something doesn't go on a huge tear?
But, yeah, I mean, and that's, to me, that's the bigger issue, is I look at those three teams or four teams that are above Miami right now. I mean, you were talking about the Pacers, you know, Paul George is going publicly saying we need to add more to this team in order for us to become legitimate title contenders. What does that do for in-house chemistry? I mean, when you look at a guy like Jeff Teague, who's a unrestricted free agent this year, you know, he's playing at home, you know, he's with the team for the first year, and all of a sudden you're hearing your superstar teammates say, you're not good enough.
Right.
You know, what does that do for Miles Turner, who's 20 years old and is just trying to figure himself out in this league?
And then you have Chicago and their whole locker room situation. Was Butler's not the franchise player, that whole thing. Like,
right.
Like, if you had to pick a roster, like, objectively, for the rest of the next 25 games, and everything was even, like, whoever has the best record for the next 25 games makes the playoffs, and you had to pick between the Pacers, the Bulls, Pistons, Bucks, and Heat, who do you pick?
Oh, I think it'd be Miami. I'm not saying that as a homer or anything like that. I think legitimately,
their confidence, their coaching, their chemistry, I'm with you. It all feels right. It all feels,
I mean, the Bulls traded the one steady personality in their locker room in Taj Gibson, a guy who's been there for so long, and they moved him for Joffrey Laverne, who's a nice piece, I guess, if you're looking at him as a role player on the bench. And Cameron Payne, he's not a guy who's going to really move the needle for you.
He mucks up that whole backcourt now. Where does he play? Yeah. What's Rondo thinking? What is Dwayne Wade thinking? I mean, the de facto point guard. Like, what is going on? I don't know what they think is going to happen in that. Like, the Bulls are just right.
Yeah, they're going to drop out of it. Yeah. I mean, I can't see them being in the playoff run. I mean,
like, they've got a ton of talent. They really do. But it's just like, it's all in the wrong places. I don't know. We've you know, the Chicago story doesn't really change all that much, but.
Yeah.
So
the Pistons too. I mean, they were looking to possibly move Andre Drummond. I mean,
Reggie Jackson.
Out there, yeah.
They're not happy.
He's surly. No, he's surly. It's not the first time that he's submarined a franchise's playoffs hope. You know, a couple seasons ago when he was Oklahoma City, I mean, it was one of the reasons why they moved him at the trade deadline, was because, you know, he was in it for himself, and a lot of players resented that me first mentality. So you wonder if he's just going to sit there. Look, he's gotten paid already. He could just sit there and pout. It doesn't matter to him one way or the other.
Thunder guards involved in this Eastern Conference, you know? Cameron Payne, Reggie Jackson, Deion Waiters, a lot of old Thunder guards involved in this thing.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I think the Heat have a legit chance at the playoffs. We'll see if they are able to wave Bosch and maybe add another player to this run and see what happens there, which is all well and good, right? We know that these next 15 games are going to be when this team really makes its run. And if they're in the playoff hunt, they'll keep going. And if they're not, I imagine that they'll maybe fake some injuries in the last 10 games, the last couple of weeks of the season, and try to get the best draft pick that they possibly can. But that's all relatively short term. Long term, this team didn't really make a decision in what it's going to do at this trade deadline. By standing pat, like, they've got expiring contracts that come off the books. They didn't get any assets for them. They really didn't make a clear decision on what they're going to do. You know, Riley basically said, we're just going to ride this thing out. What do they do? How do they get back to being a contender? You and I talked a lot about that on the last podcast that we did, kind of leading up to the trade deadline and some mailbag prep, and we've talked a lot about just rebuilding in general, but the Heat are going to have anywhere between $31 and $41 million in cap space, depending on who they decide to waive and let go this next summer. Paul George didn't get moved. Jimmy Butler didn't get moved. So I guess essentially their futures are still up in the air. Maybe Miami can get involved in one of those two guys. Mm-hmm. But it looks more likely like this is the Heat, their easiest option might just be kind of like building on this team. We heard Riley earlier in the season talk about wanting to get another draft pick. He didn't. So Miami is with its one draft pick. So they'll be able to add whoever that is. And they'll have enough space to sign a free agent. You know, I don't know if they'll be able to get Gordon Hayward or Blake Griffin or anything like that, but maybe a B-level free agent. That's still up. That's still a possibility. So we kind of have a better sense of where the Heat are going to go, I guess. And it looks like they're just kind of build on whatever this is and whatever this turns out to be for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So, any other takeaways from the trade deadline? Doesn't even have to be Heat-related.
No, I mean, I guess somewhat anticlimactic,
yeah.
But at the same time, I'm fine with it. You know, it's difficult, as I was mentioning to you before we started recording. You know, I happen to be in Orlando, you know, talking to some Portland Trailblazer players about the trade deadline and everything else, and I mean, there's no doubt there was like a tension in the air, and you know, they were rumored to be involved in a couple of trades, you know, whether or not Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum can pan out. And it's always an awkward thing. I mean, I can't say I'm not guilty of it because, you know, obviously we've talked about potential trade options and things of that sort. But I mean, if nothing else, you should always remember there's a human element involved to these trades. And, you know, as far as our dedication or our connection to the Heat are concerned, I'm glad nobody got moved because I think they still have the potential to be a pretty decent and fun team to watch.
I'm with you, man. I mean, we get another 25 games of Deion Waiters. Hopefully he stays healthy. And Josh Richardson's coming back.
Yep.
I'm excited to see how good this team can be. If this team can make a playoff run, you know, if this team ends up making the eighth seed, that is quite a second half of the season. And that is something that you can really build on. That's going to be something that free agents might look at and say, I want to help that team because I can take that team over the top. You know, that's a really good scenario for the Heat. And for Heat fans, look, we can at least now put the whole tanking thing to bed for the most part.
Sure.
We're not trading Dragic anytime soon. You're not trading Whiteside anytime soon. Like, this is the team. And I think you and I are relieved. Just, okay, this is it. Let's ride this thing out. We don't have to overthink it. June's draft will come around. The Heat will get a player in the top 15, probably. And, hey, that's something, right? Like, at least the path is a little bit clearer. I don't know where that path goes, but, like, whatever, like, the next steps are a little bit clearer now, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, that's all we have. Thank you for listening, whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Thank you for listening. You can get in touch with the show on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or by email, where you can send us mailbag questions, comments, or sponsorship opportunities. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks, as always, for listening. Go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.